Welcome to the Old Tom Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham, coming to you from Boise, Idaho. We've got a lot of email and a few comments that come in. I've been busy this past week. I've been trying to cut back a little bit on my Adam 12 viewing because I've realized that, I don't, sit down and watch like six or seven episodes and just veg out for hours. But, half hour there, half hour here kind of adds up. And, I think I started watching the series like, September or maybe sometime last summer. But I'm all the way through, more than halfway through season five, which means there's only seven seasons, so I'm going to be close to down to as few Adam 12 episodes left to watch as there's Dragnet episodes. And because there are a finite number, I'm trying to save them. But it was very interesting. I managed to limit myself to only three episodes this past week. And the three episodes were pretty interesting. The first in how different they were. The first one was The Beast, where basically Malloy and Reed's cars is in the shop because the police car because Malloy and Reed, the cars are shared by different watches. So the people who had the day watch, they messed up the car, so it had to go in for body work. So they got a car that was 300 miles away from being decommissioned, and everything on the car was broken. They spent the whole, it was a comic episode where they spent the whole night trying to keep this thing running. The most exciting call they had was a prowler, and they had a couple other minor calls, but the high speed chase in this thing falling apart. They had one point where Malloy, where they stopped this car where there was, where there was a rolling stop, and they were going to warn him, and he had a tail light out. And, they talked to the guy that came convinced, his taillights wasn't out. So Malloy talked to Reed and said, we're going to give him a warning. He goes, it's a good thing you didn't write me up for a taillight because I would have really given you a hard time. What do you mean? You don't have any taillights either. Absolutely hilarious episode. And then the next episode they did was an episode where the killing fields where Malloy and Reed are captured and held hostage at gunpoint by desperate criminals in a real big psychological drama. And then the next show that is just kind of average, driving around, cruising, capturing armed robbery suspects. And you take a look at the way, that's the big thing about Adam 12. You unless you read the TV guide in advance, you turn on the show and you had no idea what you were going to get. And whatever they did exceedingly well. So that's been the incredible charm I've observed with the show, in its ability to maintain that. So, all right, before I get started here, I do want to let you know, we don't have a sponsor for this week, but I do want to encourage you to try out Netflix. Netflix, absolutely fabulous for the Jack Webb fan out there. You can watch all seven seasons of Adam 12, and like I said, I'm most of the way through five. You can watch all seven seasons of Adam 12, all four seasons for Dragnet, and right on your computer. And most of these aren't even out on DVD. So it's a great resource, as well as all five seasons of Emergency, the paramedic drama. And you've got 100,000 DVDs to choose from, thousands in the Instant Watching Library. It's an excellent resource. If you don't have it already, I encourage you to sign up. Just go to our website, dragnetradio.blogspot.com, and click on the link to sign up for Netflix. All right, we've got some comments and an email. I actually got a correction here, and I'm going to read that. Bill in Cumberland writes, in the episode The Big Dare, you said that Dan Aykroyd was playing Jack Webb in the movie Dragnet from 1987. He played Joe Friday's nephew and namesake. Joe Friday was also a sergeant, and his captain was Bill Gann and Harry Morgan. Thought you might want like to know. Yeah, I think I more misspoke. The way that... even though Dan Aykroyd's character was officially Joe Friday's nephew, he played the character Joe Friday, basically as a Jack Webb impersonator. If you have seen the movie, you know, I would challenge anyone to disagree. That's why I tend to think that, you know, that's why I misspoke. You're technically correct, but actually, when I was reading J. Michael Hayes' book on this, when he writes about the Dragnet 87 series, me and Hay don't agree on everything. The one thing we do absolutely agree on is our personal dislike for that movie. He says that in order to stay in character, Dan Aykroyd listened to tapes of the 1950s Dragnet radio show. I'm not sure about this, you know, if he listened to today's episode. If he listened to today's episode, which I'm going to warn you in advance, this is a little bit dark. You know, he would have been like, you know, I think I'll just go home for the day. I don't really feel like doing anything. But yeah, point taken, Bill. Thanks so much for the email. I appreciate it. If you want to email, feel free to send it to adam@adamsweb.us. Go to, and also we encourage you to cast your vote at Podcast Alley. We got some great comments. Mary writes, thanks for taking the time to make these great podcasts. I was looking at the nickname. Diana, Lincoln City, Oregon Coast. Yeah, I think I was over there on my recent excursion out to that area. Nice area. Email from R. Mullins. Adam, I took your voice and advice and signed up for a Podcast Alley account, so now I can vote for your show. Interestingly, I was working my way through some of the older broadcasts this past week and came across one from a while back where you said you first got into Dragnet due to Square One TV and MathNet. I had totally forgotten about MathNet, but as it turns out, I was also a fan of it before I became familiar with Dragnet through Nick at Night. So I suppose that was my first introduction to the Jack Webb legacy as well. As always, great show and keep up the good work. Roger from Lexington, Kentucky. Thanks, Roger. And yeah, I can't emphasize enough how big the MathNet was. Because I don't know how much I would have learned, because when I was a kid, 8 or 9, you know, my dad would never let us watch Dragnet, I think, just because of some of the themes that would sometimes come up on the show, which was kind of understandable, but I would never have gotten tuned into the show or had that connection if it hadn't been for MathNet and understanding that there was something behind it. Another comment, great, love the Dragnet shows. Thanks, Angela. One from Chris. Adam, I love your Dragnet podcast. I discovered it a couple weeks ago and been listening to it nonstop. I'm currently up to August 08. I'm conflicted about hearing the original ads. Normally, I really like the authenticity of hearing the original ads when I'm listening to old-time radio, but in the case of smoking ads on Dragnet, they actually make me kind of sad. As does hearing Friday and Romero talk about smoking during the show. The fact that both actors died young comes into my mind every time they talk about smoking during the show. Who knows how long those guys might have been around and what they might have done if they hadn't smoked like chimneys. Yeah, you know, I think that I've had that thought at times, too. Though, to be fair, I can't, you know, I wonder if, like, 40 years from now, somebody will watch our show and go, they ate that? Trans fats, do they know how deadly that is? If he hadn't eaten so many Twinkies, think of what he might have done for the world. I think, you know, in Webb's case, what happens when you sponsored a cigarette company on your show? And first it was Webb early on, actually, he couldn't smoke till he got to be about 21 because he had asthma growing up. And basically he got over the asthma which may have kept him alive longer, and so then he was able to start smoking. And what actually happened when you had a cigarette company as a sponsor, you could have as many cigarettes as you wanted for free. And so Webb became just such a heavy chain smoker. The fact it was like free cigarettes, I think that definitely contributed. The drinking was kind of heavy. I've never heard anything to suggest he was like an out of control drunk, but he had a lot of nights where where he would have people over and have a lot of drinks, and so there were those things did I think have an impact on his life. He was definitely a driven workaholic, so there was and I think some of these other habits that went along with that, it probably didn't help. So you kind of see some of that in there, but it is who they were. So I have conflicted feelings myself sometimes about the ads. I just, I listened to some of these shows beforehand, and I just, it's like once you've heard the 11th time of Smoke Fatima, the best of all long cigarettes, and it's like, okay, I just don't know. That gets kind of repetitive. All right, enough of the talk. We'll have a short closing segment after the show. And again, this show is actually one of two to come with a parental warning in the time that we've been listening with Dragnet. So I would caution you, this is kind of a sad, kind of a dark story. So this is not, as the guy's right, this is not for kids. It's not glamorized perhaps as it is today, but it is not something I'd recommend for a young kid. But with that warning, let's go ahead and get into an episode. It's called The Big Love, and let's go ahead and get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, this program is for you, not your children. The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a homicide detail. A woman and her 2-year-old child disappear suddenly. There's no apparent reason for it. 5 days pass. No trace of them. Your job? Find them.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, April 20th. It was overcast in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of homicide. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Blaine Steed. My name's Friday. I was on the way back from communications, and it was 1:35 p.m. when I got to room 42. Homicide.
Hi, Joe. What's doing?
Oh, not much, Max. Where'd Ben go?
Inside, Captain's office. Be right back.
Oh, thank you. Keeping you busy?
Well, about the same. A little hectic around the house, though.
Oh, that's right. Ben mentioned something about that. You're getting ready for a wedding out there, aren't you?
Yeah, my daughter, Alice. Sure getting a nice fella.
Is that so?
Yeah. Ambitious kid. Part-time accountant. Goes to law school at night down Loyola. Real nice fella.
Mm-hmm. When are you getting married?
Wait from Saturday. Gonna be a big church thing. Sure glad doesn't happen often.
Oh, how do you mean?
Big production. Never saw so many bills in my life. New dress for Alice, going away luggage, bridesmaids' dresses, eats, drinks, new carpet for the hall, new curtains in the living room. Wife must think I'm made of this stuff.
Well, you should have had all boys, Mac.
Yeah.
You're giving your daughter away, huh?
Yeah. Well, that reminds me, I gotta be sure and send my suit to cleaners, get a good press job on it. Sure is funny.
What's that?
It seems for years the wife's been afraid we'd never get Alice married off. Now it's finally in the works, the wife's still unhappy.
Oh? Well, how's that?
Goes around, moping around the house, wipe at her eyes, keeps muttering something about losing her little girl, her little girl's leaving her. I don't know.
Well, how old's your daughter?
32. Well, I'll be down the stats office if anybody wants to.
Right, Mac.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me, Ben.
Excuse me, I didn't see you. Hi, where you been?
Making a couple of phone calls. I think we might have some.
Yeah, what's that?
The Gorman case. Huh? Had a call from one of the neighbors while you were gone. Where is that calendar of ours?
Gee, I don't know. Well, here, I got one in my pocket here in my wallet.
Oh, good. Here you are. Thanks. Well, let's see now. Mrs. Gorman and her little girl, Nancy, disappeared on the 15th. Is that right?
Yeah, Thursday. Why?
And the husband, Mr. Gorman, filed a missing complaint on Friday morning, right?
Yeah. What are you getting at?
Well, you remember when we talked to Mr. Gorman, he couldn't think of any reason why his wife and his little girl should disappear like they did?
Yeah.
Remember me asking him the question if his wife ran around at all, if she was interested in any other man?
That's right. He told you no, didn't he?
This man who just called in, he lives out in the Gorman neighborhood. He swears up and down that Mrs. Gorman was keeping company with another man.
Well, who is this neighbor, anyway?
Name's John Pearson. He lives about four blocks from the Gormans.
Well, we talked to neighbors a lot closer than that to the Gormans. They didn't seem to know anything about it. What else did this guy tell you?
Well, let's see. The man Mrs. Gorman was supposed to be running out with is a Ralph Kane. Mm-hmm. Lives next door to Mr. Pearson.
Well, how'd this person sound to you?
Pretty typical neighborhood watchdog. But here's the interesting part. Mrs. Gorman and little daughter Nancy disappeared last Thursday. Now, according to Pearson, this Ralph Kane hasn't been seen around since Friday night. He told me on the phone he saw Kane toss a couple of suitcases in his car late Friday night and drive off. Said he hasn't come back yet.
That might be something. Well, how much of a romance was Mrs. Gorman supposed to be having with this Ralph Kane?
Well, it's pretty heavy, according to Pearson. Said it's been going on for 6 months, anyhow.
And Mr. Gorman didn't know anything about it?
He got me there. If he did, he didn't let us in on it.
Mm-hmm.
What if he'd have any reason to cover it up?
Well, it's possible, I guess. Didn't want the scandal. How sure are you that Ralph Kane's really missing? Might be just off on a weekend. Huh?
No, I checked the place he worked. He's a printer. Didn't show up for work Monday. Didn't show up today either.
No message, no excuse?
Nothing. I called a friend of Kane's that Pearson knew about. Friend doesn't know where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we better get on. That's the first decent lead in 5 days.
Eh? Yeah. Just thinking, Joe. Neighbors like Pearson? What would we do without him?
5 days before, on a Thursday evening, a Mr. Philip Gorman returned to his home in the Westlake District of Los Angeles to find his wife, Barbara Gorman, and his 2-year-old daughter, Nancy, missing. There wasn't any note, no explanation of any kind. A few clothes were gone. Mr. Gorman filed a missing report, and a broadcast and an APB were gotten out on the mother and daughter. Neighbors, friends, and relatives were checked. No leads. Routine investigation failed to turn up anything. Mr. Gorman could give us no explanation for the disappearance. After 3 days, we got out a radiogram. Still no results. Tuesday, 1:50 p.m., Ben and I got in the car and drove out to see John Pearson, who'd phoned in the information about Mrs. Gorman's supposed boyfriend, Ralph Kane. We found Pearson out on the back porch of his home, feeding some milk to a pair of house cats.
I thought everybody knew that, Sergeant. Mrs. Gorman running around with that Ralph Kane. I'm no busybody. I wouldn't have mentioned it all if this hadn't happened.
You say Kane had been seeing Mrs. Gorman for the last 6 months. Is that right, Mr. Pearson?
About 6 months. That's how long I've seen it go on. James, don't be such a hog. Let Fred have some of the milk, too. Greedy little devils.
Do you know of anybody else in the neighborhood who's been aware of this, Mr. Pearson? I mean, Mrs. Gorman and Miss Ralph Kane.
Well, I know for sure that Thelma White next door knows about it. She's mentioned it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kane used to park with Mrs. Gorman near that vacant lot by Thelma's house. Those were the nights that Mr. Gorman was working late.
Would you know if Mr. Gorman was aware of this, that his wife was running around with another man?
I'm pretty sure he did, Sergeant. That's the strange part about it.
And how do you know, sir?
For George, the man who delivers the groceries, he just happened to mention it to me once.
Mm-hmm.
All right, James. Right, it's all gone. Now run off and play. Yes, George, the grocery man, he made a delivery to the Gormans once and heard them lowing about it. George said Mr. Gorman was very mad, talked divorce, all that sort of thing.
Well, how about the Gorman's little girl, Mr. Pearson, little Nancy?
Tragic, Sergeant. Such a sweet little thing. Mrs. Gorman kept her under an iron hand. Imagine, a little girl was only 2 years old. Mrs. Gorman was after her with a stick all the time. She's not much of a mother. Not the way I look at it, anyway.
Well, what's your opinion of all this? Do you think that Ralph Kane has run off with Mrs. Gorman?
Well, what else can you think? two of them carry on for 6 months. Mrs. Gorman disappears Thursday. Mr. Kane leaves Friday night. What else can you think?
This neighbor of yours, Thelma White, does she live in this house over here, over on the right?
Yeah, that's right, right next door. You go over and talk to her. She's home now. Thelma will tell you the same thing I did.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Not at all, Sergeant. Just one thing I can't understand about Mrs. Gorman's little girl, little Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Can't quite understand why she's gone. Doesn't seem to fit somehow.
How do you mean?
If you're going to run off with a man, you don't take your family along.
2:15 p.m. We went next door and talked with a neighbor, Thelma White. She told us the same story as Pearson. From the two of them, we got the description. DMV furnished us with the license number of Ralph Kane's car. We checked further with Kane's friends, relatives, and his landlady. No one had seen or heard from him since late Friday. We searched the duplex where he lived. No leads. We went back to the office and checked Kane through R&I. He had one arrest for petty theft. We got out a broadcast and an APB on him. Well, that night, Ben and I drove out to see the husband and father of the missing woman and youngster, Philip Gorman. He was employed as a groundskeeper at one of the baseball parks in the city.
Pretty fair turnout tonight, huh?
Yeah. Weather's cleared up a little. Probably helped, huh? Where's the groundskeeper checked? Out the end there?
Yeah, you can't see it from here. It's just below the end of the bleachers there.
Well, is Monty very often?
Not as often as I'd like to. It's down this way.
Hey.
Watch your step there, Joe. Is a mud puddle?
Yeah, I see it.
Oh, sorry. You'll have to get back in the stands. You're not allowed down this end.
How are you, Mr. Gorman? Fighting Romero. You remember us?
Yeah, sure. I didn't recognize you for a minute.
You got a few minutes, Mr. Gorman? We'd like to talk to you if we could.
For sure, right now, if you want. You found out something about the wife, little girl?
No, sir, nothing definite. Got a few questions we'd like to ask you.
Looks fine with me. I got nothing to do for a couple more innings. What's it all about?
Well, when we talked to you at your house the other day, Gorman, you remember me asking if you could think of any reason why your wife and your little girls should disappear like you did?
Yeah, I remember. There's nothing I can think of, Sergeant.
Do you recall us asking you if your wife might have been interested in some other man, somebody she might go off with?
Yeah, I remember. I told you I didn't think that was it.
Now, look, if you know something and you're not telling us because you don't want the scandal, you can forget that, Gorman, because whatever you tell us is in strict confidence, you know.
I don't know what you mean, Sergeant. I told you everything I know.
Well, we'll be honest with you, Gorman. We think you're trying to cover up.
Well, that's not true. I don't have anything to cover up.
We picked up some new information on your wife this afternoon. We hear she was pretty friendly with a man named Ralph Kane. Lives a few blocks from your house. We hear that you knew what was going on. You and your wife, Barbara, had a row. You talked divorce. How about it?
Well, let's go inside the shack here, huh? Get away from some of this noise.
Fine, sure.
I hope you don't mind it in here. It's a little dirty. I keep all the maintenance stuff in here.
That's all right, Gorman. Now, how about Ralph Kane?
Yeah. I knew about it. It's like you said, all the scandal. I just didn't want to get out.
Well, look, if you're going to hold out on us, it's not going to help much to find your wife and little girl.
Yeah, I know, Sergeant. I just didn't want people to find out what a bum I married him. You know what some neighbors are like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand how it happened. I met the wife when I was in the Army.
I see.
I brought her back out here. Everything was fine. After the baby was born, she started to change. Nothing satisfied her. She began to run around. Nothing but a bum, but I guess I found out too late.
Now, this Ralph Kane, what do you know about him?
Well, he's a single guy. Works at a print shop downtown. Pretty good-looking guy. He's got money to spend. That's all Barbara cares about.
Well, what's your idea about it?
Huh?
You think Kane and your wife have gone off together?
Well, tell you the truth, I'm not sure. Maybe they did. I've been trying to check around them all. I'm not getting very far. It's only one thing I'm really worried about. That's my little girl, Nancy. I don't care what my wife does or how far she goes. I just want my little girl back. That's it.
Have you any idea at all where your wife might have gone?
No. No, none at all. She doesn't know California too well. She's only been out here a year.
Mm-hmm. You don't know any of Kane's friends, his hangouts, or places you think he might go?
No. Well, I never even met the guy, Sergeant. I'm going to, though. I know what he looks like. I'll meet him.
And there's just one more thing, Gorman. If your wife was set on running off with another man, why did she take your little girl with her? She wasn't too devoted to the baby, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's got me worried. The only thing I can figure out is the wife hated me more than I thought. She knew that I thought Nancy was about, the greatest thing alive. I guess rather than let me have her, she took Nancy along with her.
Was it possible she might drop the baby off at some friend or relative and tell him to keep
her? Well, I've checked on that already, Sergeant. You got the names of all the people we know. I'm sure they'd get in touch with you if they had names.
Yeah, we'll double check them anyhow.
All right.
Now, if there's anything else comes up, you let us know right away, huh?
All right, Sergeant. It's just the baby, that's all, Nancy. As far as I'm concerned, my wife never lived. It's kind of hard to take anyway.
Yes, it is.
Think you got the finest setup in the world. Nice home, job, baby, good furniture, everything you need.
Yeah.
Everything but a wife.
The search for the missing wife and the 2-year-old daughter went on. The broadcasts and teletypes on Mrs. Gorman and Ralph Kane failed to net us a thing. A week passed. There were no leads. Another week went by. Nothing. The half dozen replies we'd gotten on our teletype went nowhere. They were blind leads. Wednesday, May 5th. We got a call from the manager of an auto court in the south end of the city. He told us that a man, a woman, and a little girl, answering the description of the missing trio, had stopped at his place the night before. Along with Jack McCready from Homicide, Ben and I drove out and interviewed the man. We showed him pictures of Kane, Mrs. Gorman, and 2-year-old Nancy. He identified all three. He could give us no idea where they'd gone. We checked through the cottage where they stayed.
No, nothing. Just about as clean as you can get.
A little something here.
Huh? What's that?
Look here. Kid's picture book. Let's see. Yeah, take a look right here.
This book belongs to Nancy Gorman. Well, we know they were here. That's about it.
Hey, Ben? Joe?
Yeah, Mac. Where are you?
Out in the back. Come here.
All right.
What have you got?
Come here. Have a look.
Where'd you find that?
Poking around this trash barrel here. Looks like part of a little girl's dress, huh?
Yeah, there's not much there. Did you find the rest of it?
Well, that's all there is, just that little collar.
Take a look here, Ben. The stains right here, over here, too.
Yeah. What do you think?
Mac, blood stains?
I'd say so.
We drove back to the office to the crime lab and had Lee Jones run the stains on the dress. He ran a benzidine test and then a biological precipitant. The stains were made by human blood. Well, it still didn't put us any closer to the missing child or her mother. The search went on. We redoubled our efforts. No luck. Another 10 days passed. We had a few more responses to our all-points bulletin, but none of them panned out. On May 16th, we got 2 more leads to check out. They went nowhere. We got back to the office a little after 6 p.m.
Better call Mr. Gorman after we check in, huh? Keep him off our backs.
Yeah, I hate to keep telling him the same thing. No word.
Yeah.
How about it? You call Gorman tonight, huh?
All right. Matt? What's going?
Got something for you. Sheriff's substation called, East L.A.
Now, what about?
The Gorman case. They found him.
Where?
Another auto court right there in East L.A. Ralph Kane and Mrs. Gorman. They got them both under surveillance.
Well, how about the little girl, Nancy?
Well, that's a hitch.
Huh?
No sign of her.
You are listening to Dragnet, authentic cases from official files.
Saturday, May 16th, 9 p.m. Along with Levinson and McCready from Homicide, Ben and I drove out to the sheriff's substation in the east end of the city. One of the deputy sheriffs directed us to the motor court where Mrs. Barbara Gorman and Ralph Kane were under surveillance. We found the two of them in one of the rear cottages. There was no trace of 2-year-old Nancy Gorman. Levinson and McCready took Ralph Kane out to the car to interrogate him. Ben and I remained in the cottage with Mrs. Gorman. She was a tall blonde, thin-faced and nervous. She spoke with a decided accent. We questioned her for more than 2 hours. We got nowhere.
Why don't you sit down, Mrs. Gorman? Relax.
How can anyone relax at these questions? You have no right to do this.
Well, maybe you haven't got it straight, Mrs. Gorman. This is a pretty important matter. We'd like to find out about your little girl.
I told you I don't know. She ran away.
Yes, ma'am. Now, we've had 10 different versions. You stopped at a hotel in Nevada and she disappeared. You were at an auto court in Bakersfield. She ran away during the night. We've heard just about all of them. Now, how about the truth?
I've told you everything I'm going to tell you. I don't know what's happened to the kid. She's gone, that's all. She's gone.
There's got to be an explanation for it. Where is she gone?
She ran away. How many times do I have to tell you? I left with Ralph, who went out of the city. After a few days, Nancy got lonesome. She wanted to see her father. We were asleep one night, and she ran away. That's all there is to it. Simple. Why can't you understand?
Well, you're going to have to do better than that, Mrs. Gorman. Now, how about the truth? What happened?
Can I keep her here all night? Where's Ralph? I want Ralph.
Why'd you take the child with you in the first place, Mrs. Gorman? It's pretty obvious that she didn't want her. Did Kane want you to take her along?
Oh, no. He wants me to leave her. Just he and I. That's all he wanted. Should have left her there, all this trouble, questions.
It's an easy remedy, ma'am. What'd you really do with the little girl?
She wanted off. It's the truth. We didn't know it. She wanted off. We couldn't help it.
How about the little dress we found in that auto court with Dane's on it?
Same questions. You always ask the same questions.
What about the dress, ma'am?
Do I always have to repeat? I told you. Ralph got his hand. He was shaving. It was just an old dress, a rag. Ralph bandaged his hand with it.
Well, you usually wear bandages a while, don't you? Don't just throw them away.
It was only a scratch. He didn't need the rag very long.
Quite a few stains on the dress, ma'am. Must have been more than just a scratch.
No, it was just a scratch. Can't you believe anything I say?
No, not so far.
Please, can I go outside for a few minutes? I have a headache. It's so hot in here.
All right, Miss Gorman. Go ahead, Betty.
Yeah, thanks.
The air, so good. Terrible headache.
Mind telling you something, Miss Gorman?
Please, can't you let me alone for a minute?
Why did you leave your husband?
Him? Any woman would leave him. It's Ralph. I love Ralph.
And your little girl, what about her?
My husband wanted her, not me. I'm just not like that. I didn't want her in the first place. It was a mistake, a terrible mistake.
Is that why you got rid of her?
What?
Now, it's pretty obvious by this time, ma'am. When you left your husband, you took your little girl along for spite. Kane didn't want her. You found out you didn't either, so you got rid of her. Now, is that it?
I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that at all.
Joe, Ben?
Yeah, yeah, Mac, over here.
Kane's given us half the story. Shouldn't be too hard to get the rest.
It's a lie. There's no story to tell. Nancy ran away. That's all we know.
Mac.
Kane says they tried some kind of a death pact. He and Mrs. Gorman here got in a room and turned on the gas.
He didn't tell you. He didn't tell you.
Afraid so, ma'am. That's your boyfriend's story.
What else, Mac?
Well, as I say, Kane and Mrs. Gorman got in the room, agreed to end it all. They had a little girl with them in the room.
Well, why was that?
Kane says he doesn't know. Seemed to simplify things, having the kid with him.
He tells you what happened?
Yeah, they turned on the gas.
No. No. Never mind.
Mrs. Gorman?
Never mind. You don't have to say it.
You want to tell us about it? Mrs. Gorman?
Yes. I'll tell you.
3 a.m. We went back inside the cottage at the auto court. We gave her a cigarette, and Barbara Gorman sat down and told us the story. 4 days after she'd left with her 2-year-old daughter and Ralph Kane, she knew she'd made a mistake. She admitted that she never should have taken the child. She said the little girl seemed to be in their way all the time. Kane was all for deserting the child or sending her back to her father. Mrs. Gorman wouldn't agree to it, just out of pure spite. One night in an auto court, she and Kane had a big drinking party. They brooded over the mix-up that they'd gotten themselves into. Kane didn't have any money to get married. He knew he'd lost his job. Even if they could get married, Mrs. Gorman wasn't sure she could get a divorce. Another full day and night of drinking, and they decided on a lover's death pact. They turned on the gas.
I don't get it, Mrs. Gorman. Why'd you have your little girl in the room with you? Why didn't you leave her with somebody, with anybody?
Why? She was mine, wasn't she? I thought we could go together, all three of us, but it didn't work that way.
Well, what happened?
When Ralph and I woke up, throats were burning, my eyes were burning. I looked over Nancy. She wasn't moving. It was just like she was asleep.
And what'd you do then?
We got in the car and left. We found a nice place in the desert. There were nice flowers there. We buried Nancy.
How about you and Ralph Kane? You knew you were in deeper. Why didn't you try it again?
Oh, we did, a couple of times. We loved each other. It's the only thing we could do, but every time we tried, we couldn't go through with it. We'd try. We never could finish it. Ralph got a job. We were going to buy a gun. Tomorrow, we try again.
Can you show us where you buried your little girl?
Yes. A place in the desert, out near Palm Springs. It was a nice place. There's lots of nice flowers around. You understand, don't you? We were in love, Ralph and I.
Yeah.
My husband wouldn't understand the way I loved Ralph. It was everything. It was the whole world, Ralph and I. I didn't mean it that way for Nancy. It was a mistake. You've got to understand I didn't mean it that way.
That's the way it is.
doesn't matter. You can't hurt us, not Raff and I. You can't take away what we've got. You'll never take that away.
All right. You want to get your coat?
Yes. It doesn't matter what happens. It's for Raff. I don't care what they do. I'll keep on loving him. Same way I love him now. It doesn't matter. We'll pay for our mistakes.
Yeah, lady. They're going to cost you. At 5 a.m., we put in a call for Lieutenant Lee Jones and the crime lab crew and the coroner. When they arrived at the auto court, we drove to the spot in the desert near Palm Springs where Ralph Kane and Mrs. Gorman pointed out the spot where they buried Nancy. The body was uncovered at the exact spot, was taken back to town to the county morgue where an autopsy was performed. Kane and Mrs. Gorman were booked on suspicion of murder. By 5 o'clock that afternoon, we had the results of the autopsy.
Yeah, Doc. Uh-huh. Right. Thank you. Bye.
What's the story, Mac?
Not what we thought.
Well, how do you mean?
I think Mrs. Gorman sold us a bill of goods. Little girl didn't die in a room full of gas.
What'd the doc say?
He found 2 bullet holes in the body.
That night, after hours of interrogation, Ralph Kane and Mrs. Barbara Gorman both broke down and confessed that they'd killed the child in cold blood. They pleaded drunkenness, that they weren't responsible for their actions. They were returned to their cells and held without bail. The child's father, Philip Gorman, was notified. The following morning, Ben and I accompanied him to the county morgue.
It's this way, Mr. Gorman.
Oh, thanks. You sure you want to go through with it, sir? Mr. Gorman?
Well, I might as well tell you the truth. I'm not sure I do.
It isn't going to help much, Mr. Gorman. Believe me, it isn't.
Well, I just wanted to see you just once more.
Yeah, well, it doesn't work out. Wouldn't be the same. Not the way you remember.
Just wanted to see you. I just wanted to find out.
What's that?
About her mother, Ralph Kane.
Huh?
What is it that could make them do it? Little girl, she's only 2. What can make anybody do a thing like that?
Your wife called it love.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent. On September 10th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 89, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial. Mrs. Barbara Gorman and Ralph Donald Kane were tried and convicted in Superior Court of murder in the first degree. Mrs. Gorman was sentenced to life imprisonment. Kane received the death penalty. He was executed at the state penitentiary, San Quentin, California. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bill of Rights section of the United States Constitution protects our freedom. Today, that freedom is endangered by tyranny and aggression. Every American must help make our free government an example to all peoples by dedicating himself to a constant, active citizenship. Freedom needs you.
You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles. Stay tuned for Counter Spy, next over most NBC stations.
Welcome back. I warned in advance the show was going to be a little on the downside, and I was not exaggerating. I think Webb is better than anything else is perhaps he's able to draw on the extremes of life, either some of the absolutely silly fun things that happen, but also I think. Particularly in these radio days, on some of the grittier sides of life. The parental warning at the beginning of the show, definitely warranted. And again, we see another one of Webb's sociopathic killers. They really, when it came to the murders, really tended to dominate the group. The cases involving the sociopath seemed to be pretty popular. Oh, goodness. This was, wow, incredibly down episode. We've always, I think, to a degree, had people like the wife in this story. And sometimes we think it's just a new innovation to our era. The one thing, of course, that you heard at the end of was that the guy got the death penalty. The mother got a life sentence, which is one of the biases of court systems in general. It's very rare that a woman is executed for murder. Be much more likely than a man to serve life imprisonment. There's just not a comfort level with that, particularly back in the 1950s. So if there was a case that would seem to be something where they might look on it, you would tend to think it would be this case. But in this case, she just ended up getting life imprisonment. So, all right. You know, I'm thinking that I'm going to have to take a look and see if we can lighten the mood somehow next week. I encourage you, your thoughts on this episode, feel free to email me, adam@adamsweb.us. Check out the blog, dragnetradio.blogspot.com, and please cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley. For now, though, I do thank you so much for listening. This is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.